fans, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
This is Dan Friedel filling in for VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Welcome to the September 6th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Wednesday and Thursday nights saw 11 qualifying matches on the continent for the 2022 World Cup in Qatar, with more to come Friday and over the upcoming weekend. Our colleague Samson Omale is here with an update on that competition as well as other African sports news. Welcome, Samson.
Somalia stunned Zimbabwe 1-0 in the first round first leg match on Thursday afternoon. It was the Ocean Stars' first victory in their history in World Cup qualifying. Anwar Sidali Shakunda was the hero. Elsewhere, Ramadan Agabs scored a hat-trick to ensure Sudan grabbed a comfortable 3-1 away win over Chad in N'Djamena. Meanwhile, Rwanda proved too strong for Seychelles, who succumbed to a 3-0 defeat at the Stade Unity in Victoria. The Pirates of Seychelles will be hoping to overturn the deficit in the second leg match, which is set to take place in Kigali on Tuesday. 28 teams will be involved in the first round in knockout contest where ties are played over two legs on a home and away basis. The 14 winners will go into the group stage to join the continent's 26 ranked teams. Staying with football news, Madagascar have become the second team in the last 3 days to pull out of an international friendly against South Africa over concerns around the deadly riots and xenophobic attacks that have shaken the country. Zambia were originally due to host South Africa in Lusaka on Saturday, but pulled out of the match in protest on Tuesday, citing security concerns following the violent attacks on foreign-owned shops in Johannesburg and Pretoria. Bafana midfielder Bongani Zungu have appealed to his fellow South Africans to stop the current attacks on foreign nationals.
As for me and some of the guys, we play overseas with foreigners in other countries, you know, it's sad, you know, to see what's going on in the country. And also we've got friends in our teams there in Europe, you know, they ask us questions, you know, what's going on, bro, you know, like you're killing our brothers and, you know, and it's quite sad.
In athletics news, world marathon record holder Eliud Kipchoge has said he will be aiming to break his own world record of 2 hours and 25 seconds when he will be taking part in this year's INEOS 159 challenge in Vienna, Austria this October. However, the marathon bigwig will not be defending his Berlin marathon since his major target is on the much anticipated run.
Well, I'm expecting actually to inspire more than 3 billion people in the whole world. So the pacemakers are coming from all the continents from the whole world. This is to show that we are not only Kenyans that we are running there, but we are the human beings from this world.
And finally, Rwandan women cricket team will be looking to maintain their 100% record in the ongoing friendly series against Nigeria when the two sides meet in the third game at the Gahanga Stadium later today. I am Samson Omale in Abuja, Nigeria.
One of those recent soccer matches in Africa that was a qualifier for the upcoming World Cup saw newly appointed Liberian manager Peter Butler lead the Lone Stars to a 3-1 opening leg victory over Sierra Leone. Moses Garzio was on hand to talk with some of the key figures in the match. Now, Liberia pulled out the victory by scoring 2 decisive goals late in the second half. Newcastle United under-23 midfielder Mohamed Sangare came on as a substitute, scored from the penalty spot in the 82nd minute. Butler was asked who he thought the key contributor was to the win on Wednesday night.
Who was your man today for your Lone Star team?
Every single one that were involved, you know what I mean, from a technical team, everybody. I never want to sort of like single out individuals, but I just think the group, you know, I always develop the we mentality, not the me mentality, and I think the group as a whole were out. If you're going to want me to single somebody out today, I would single out the supporters, because I thought the supporters were fantastic. They really were our 12th man, and they were brilliant. They got behind the team, really. You know, we conceded a goal, the supporters really got behind us. So I suppose if you want to single anybody out, it would be our 12th man, which was the fans.
2-goal cushion, you're going to Freetown on Sunday. What are you hoping for?
I think the most important thing from us is that it's half time. I've been in these situations many times. It's half time. They'll be happy they've got an away goal. We've got to go there. We're not going to sit back. They know we won't sit back. We'll go back and we'll just adopt the same approach and the same mentality, and we'll try and score goals.
Sangare said coming on as a second-half substitute allowed him to feel comfortable against Sierra Leone, a team he had never before faced.
From the start of the game, obviously, I've never seen Sierra Leone play before. To be fair, never, like I told the lads earlier, I said, when you're coming out to a game, never ever overlook the people you're playing against. You never know what they're capable of, and you don't know what they've been practicing that you might just be surprised by. So I was just saying, obviously, from watching the first half, that coming into the game, obviously being on the bench, I'm experienced enough to read the game. So obviously, I read the game well, and I started talking to people, putting them in positions. So hopefully we got the chance we deserved, and then we got the win at the back of it, so it was great.
Keeping up with African soccer, let's turn to the women. Mugume Davis Rakarinj sent us this story from Uganda, where he caught up with Sarai Behrman, FIFA's chief women's football officer, at a recent East African tournament. She and other soccer executives on hand said tournaments like these should help develop the women's teams in that part of Africa.
Chinondon Women Football Club players sing and dance after winning the fourth edition of Seninde Women Development Cup at Kacheka Stadium in Bara District of southwestern Uganda. 8 teams participated in this tournament. Amina Karuma, the head of Tanzania Women's Football, praised the organizer Jean Seninde for organizing this tournament. She said such a tournament will help develop raw talent in the East African region.
This is like giving them confidence and let them have a lot of time to play. Because when you're talking about women football in Africa, you talk about like two zones. So we talk about west, you talk about south. So we also want east to be like them.
Ugandan international and Queen's Park Rangers player Jean Seninde said that is exactly the reason she organizes the annual women football tournament.
This tournament is not just about winning. This tournament is about us participants, the fans, coming together as one and going on a journey together to discover something really great.
Sarai Behrman, the FIFA head of women's football, was among those watching.
I had the best time watching you girls play. I really enjoyed it, and I am so impressed with the level and the determination and the courage and the passion that you all played with. I also want to say thank you very much to the fans, but especially to the men, because you know, when you are working in women's football and when you play women's football, it's always a challenge. No matter where you go in the world, there is a perception that football belongs to the men. It's the same sport, and we should all enjoy it.
Edgar Watson, the chief executive officer of Uganda Football Association, or FUFA, pledged to support women football.
Indeed, the call has been for FUFA to support, and I want to assure you that FUFA will always support Jean and also all the girls that participate in football in the country.
Behrman, Seninde, a women football devotee, believed the tournament was a motivation for many, like 15-year-old Daphne Nembabazi, that followed the tournament from the start to the end.
I liked that we are visited by the president of football women. Yeah, I've seen how they play that football, and I think I've got some interest. I can also do it, because I even have that feeling in me that I can.
For the Sony Side of Sports, I am Mugume Davis Rwakarinji in Kampala, Uganda.
Thank you, Mugume. I'm Dan Friedel, and you're listening to The Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. Continuing the conversation of how African nations are doing in international events, let's turn to the FIBA Men's Basketball World Cup currently going on in China. As I mentioned on Thursday's show, the tournament made its cut down from 32 teams to 16. And of the final 16 teams, none of the African teams advanced. The strongest of the group seemed to be Nigeria, which had a difficult draw, losing to Russia and Argentina in close games before blowing out South Korea. Now, Nigeria defeated Ivory Coast today in a consolation game, which does count for Olympic qualification. Nigeria also plays China on Sunday. Our friend Iron Mike Mbonye caught up with Sam Amadou, the president of FIBA Africa Zone 3, which includes Ivory Coast, Ghana, Liberia, and Nigeria, among others. Welcome to the show, Mike.
The five African countries are really giving their best. However, as we can all see, the European and South American countries seem to be are all far advanced in the game than us. Of the five African countries, the three countries that have actually done very well, you can see Nigeria, Tunisia, and Angola. And these three countries have the pedigree for African basketball for the men. Unfortunately, Ivory Coast and Senegal have not really done very well because they lost all their games. However, in the fight for qualification for the Olympics, you can't write anybody out. The five African countries are going to the next round to play against other opponents, and the African team with the best result will have automatical qualification for the Euro-Olympics. So they are still all to play for the five African teams. Overall, it has not been tournament at all.
What are their chances against other teams in that qualification to get the Olympic Games ticket?
Yes, for the five African teams, the competition is among themselves. No matter whom the African teams play, their aim is to get a better position than what their fellow African teams will get. Tunisia is going to play against a European team. Angola will also play against a European team. Senegal as well will play against a European team. The two African teams that we meet is Nigeria versus Ivory Coast. So that gives a good opportunity for one African team to aim for a higher position. As far as Nigeria is concerned, if Nigeria wins its remaining two games, it will be the best African team. Because even if Angola and Tunisia win, Angola and Tunisia were defeated with heavy scores in their first games, while Nigeria lost with a narrow margin of 5. And so Nigeria stands in a better position as long as we win our remaining two games. So that is the position African team has at now. There is still all to play for.
Are there lessons that have been learned from the ongoing FIBA Basketball World Cup?
Yes. Lots and lots of lessons. We need to expand our financial base. We are here crying for finance. Payment of our players is, while our players are paid, yes, but really right home about. And not only that, there is the need for early preparation. That means the teams need to come and play in every year. You build your team every year, not to wait until the last minute, which has been the bane of African teams so far.
Thank you, Mike. I'm Dan Friedel in for Sonny Young, and you're listening to The Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. We pick up now on our conversation with Sean Leahy, the editor of The Athletic in Boston. We spoke about the upcoming NFL season with Sean on Thursday's show. And for those of you keeping track, the Green Bay Packers opened the season with a 10-3 win on Thursday night over the host Chicago Bears. I started off the question in our second part of the conversation with Sean about what happened to the Boston Red Sox, last year's World Series champions, who will not make it to the baseball playoffs this year.
Well, the pitching hasn't been there, for one thing. And, they won 108 regular season games last year, 11 playoff games. You knew that they were going to come down. And, you know, they still may win close to 90 games. Like you said, I think we talked about off air, they're not going to the playoffs. It's virtually impossible for them. But, you know, 90 wins in a big Major League Baseball season is still a pretty good season. But it's 18 fewer, you know, it's a net loss of 18 from last year. They really had nowhere to go but down. But the roster really wasn't built right. The pitching staff, the starting rotation particularly has kind of imploded at different points throughout the season. And it's just – It's just not their year. But, you know, everything went right for them last year. I mean, it was a history-making season in terms of, you know, just total wins that they had never had before, an offense that they'd never had before. I just don't think you can get all that upset about it right now. You know, they overachieved last year. They're probably underachieving a little bit this year. That's the way it goes. But the Red Sox fans, they had so much last year. I don't think they can complain too much.
We're joined by Sean Leahy, the editor of The Athletic in Boston. And every time we talk to Sean, it seems like we talk about the Boston Celtics a little bit. And, of course, now we're still almost 2 months away from the beginning of the NBA season, but the NBA offseason is always on people's minds. Training camp will get started not too far from now. There are four Boston Celtics players in the FIBA World Cup going on right now in China, and one of the newest Celtics, Kemba Walker, was a key player in the overtime victory that the U.S. had 93-92 the other day against Turkey. What are people saying about Kemba Walker and his potential addition to the Celtics, who struggled a little bit down the stretch last year?
I think there's a lot of excitement, you know, but he's coming into a friendly situation in that he's replacing Kyrie Irving, who, you know, talented guy, but just, you know, destroyed his relationships here in Boston, was not a good fit on the Celtics. You know, left town to go to Brooklyn as a free agent in the offseason. The Celtics signed Kemba Walker. You know, the bar is set pretty low for Walker. Now, he's an all-star. He can clear the bar, but the bar for, you know, how he fits in with his teammates and is all set pretty low. You know, Kyrie's a talented guy. You know, maybe he's one of the 10 most talented players in the NBA. He was supposed to make the team better. He made the Celtics worse, though. For whatever reason, he couldn't handle the pressure of being the guy, the number one option. Kemba Walker, I don't think anyone's expecting him to be the number one, you know, LeBron type of player. And the Celtics, you know, they're not entering this season as a championship favorite, but I think the door is open for them to surprise a few people if the chemistry is better with this Walker-led team than it was with the Kyrie Irving-led team. Now, with that said, the Celtics also lost an all-star in Al Horford, and he's a big man. The Celtics really don't have a center right now. They're going to be playing a lot of small units when they're on the floor. So they have some holes in their game, but I think there's a lot of excitement around, hey, we're beyond this Kyrie Irving thing. Let's get Kemba Walker in here and let's turn the Celtics into an easier team to root for. Cause when they were led by Kyrie Irving, they were not easy to root for.
Yeah, that's a good point. Sean, I really appreciate you spending some time with us today on the Sunny Side of Sports, and look forward to an exciting NFL season. Thanks for helping us out.
Sounds good, Dan.
I know we've talked about earlier this year with Ben Golliver from the Washington Post, the Eastern Conference where the Celtics play is wide open now with Kawhi Leonard moving to the West Coast, aside from perhaps the Milwaukee Bucks. That's Sean Leahy, and I'm Dan Friedel. We'll be back with more on the Sunny Side of Sports just after this programming message.
Celebrate the sounds of Africa today, yesterday, and tomorrow. That's our mission in your show, Music Time in Africa. Hello, I'm your host, Heather Maxwell. Join me every Saturday and Sunday at 1500 and 2000 UTC and discover the best Pan-African music in the world. We play it all right here, only the best on VOA Africa.
We're joined now on the show by our colleague Gwen Uten, who's been keeping us up to date on the U.S. Open in New York. The tournament heads into its final weekend. Serena Williams looks to be in good shape after a rocky 12 months, going back to her controversial final match at the Open last year against eventual champion Naomi Osaka. Sporty greetings, Gwen.
Sporty greetings, Dan. Serena is just one match away from a seventh U.S. Open title. And although Serena says she did not play her best tennis in her semifinal win against Ukrainian Elena Svitolina, she says she's happy to be in the championship round.
Yeah, it's really good. I mean, to be in yet another final, it seems honestly crazy, but
I don't really expect too much less. I think today was solid. It definitely wasn't my best tennis, and it's interesting that she knows that. She's a super professional to know that. You know, she probably could have played better as well, and I definitely know I could have played better. So, but, you know, I'm just focusing on not that and just, you know, the next match.
Serena hasn't won any titles since her return to tennis following the birth of her daughter, and she is once again in position to claim a 24th career Grand Slam title, a record-tying achievement she's come agonizingly close to clinching on three separate occasions. Well, that could all change on Saturday, but either way, Serena says she's going to keep on playing.
I would definitely still be playing if I had already passed it, but I've had so many chances to pass it and to have a lot more. So, but it's cool because I'm playing in an era with so many, five eras with so many amazing players. So, you know, I think if you look at the span of the career and the players that I've played, it's amazing that I was able to get this many.
Serena has dominated her opponents in the tournament to reach the finals, and she says compared to other majors, this time she's much better prepared.
I felt more prepared this tournament. I mean, Wimbledon, I was probably had a week to prepare, so that was amazing. Australia, I was super prepared, and I, you know, did great and rolled my ankle, and I shouldn't have even played the French Open, so that was just a bonus, just to compete in another Grand Slam. So I just feel like I actually had time to train. I trained more for, I joked that I trained more for Canada than I did for any other tournament this year, which was kind of funny, but I just had a really tough year with injuries and mostly bad luck. And I just needed to get injury free.
Now all that stands between Serena and the title is her next opponent, Canadian Bianca Andreescu. The two have met only once before at last month's Rogers Cup final, where Serena was forced to retire because of back spasms. But Serena says she respects her upcoming opponent on and off the court, and she's looking forward to a rematch.
She really knows how to mix up the game and play different shots in different ways. And above all, I just like her as a person. She's amazing.
Bianca Andreescu returned the compliment, saying she welcomes any opportunity to play against Serena.
I've wanted to play her. I remember I was always telling my team I would have always wanted to play her right before she retired. Right before she retires, so I'm really looking forward to it. She's an amazing champion on and off the court, so it's going to be fun.
Andreescu continues a dream run at the tournament. With her win against Switzerland's Belinda Bencic, she is now the first Canadian woman to reach the tournament's championship round, which she calls a dream come true.
I've always dreamt of this moment ever since I was a little kid, but I don't think many people would have actually thought that it would become a reality. I think for me, it all started in Auckland and then in Indian Wells, and I just kept believing in myself. But I think that moment after the match, I was just in shock. But at the same time, I fought really hard to get to this point, so I really think I deserve to be in the finals on Saturday.
Bianca Andreescu and Serena Williams will play for the U.S. Open women's title on Saturday. And let's not forget about the four men who are set to play their semifinal matches on Friday. First up, Russian Daniil Medvedev will face Grigor Dimitrov of Bulgaria. And following that match, Italy's Matteo Berrettini will face 2017 U.S. Open champion Rafael Nadal. The winners of those two matches will play for the men's singles title when the U.S. Open tournament concludes on Sunday. And that does it for me for the week. Back over to you, Dan. Have a good weekend.
Gwen, have a great weekend, too. I know Sunday will be exciting. We've got the U.S. Open final. We've got important Major League Baseball games as the teams are in the home stretch. And we've got the start of the National Football League season for real with a bunch of games on Sunday. That wraps up the September 6th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Sunny for inviting me in to sit in the big chair. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer Audrius Regas, and thank you for tuning in. I'm Dan Friedel, in for Sunny Young in Washington. Sunny's back on Monday.
Hello, this is Peter Clotty, host of Nightline Africa. Please join us every Saturday and Sunday at 16 and 18 hours UTC. Nightline Africa is VOA's Africa's weekend show that provides news, features, and entertainment news about Africa and the world. Tune in. You will be glad you did. I guarantee it.
Feast with your ears on Music Time in Africa, your connection to the best Pan-African music. Hello, this is Heather Maxwell inviting you to join me every Saturday and Sunday at 1500 and 2000 UTC. Every show brings you the best music from across the continent. Old songs you know and love, and new songs to discover. You'll meet artists, too. Listen to Africa's superstars and rising stars in exclusive, unplugged interviews on the radio or on my YouTube channel. Search for Heather Maxwell, Music Time in Africa. We play only the best right here on VOA Africa.
This is Science in a Minute.
Scientists at the University of Massachusetts Medical School are reporting success in research that may someday help people see things at night that now require the use of very expensive night vision goggles. After injecting a special type of material called upconversion nanoparticles into mice's eyes, the researchers found that the little rodents were able to see in the near-infrared light range. The scientists say the night vision nanoparticles converts low-energy photons from near-infrared light into higher energy light mice and other mammals can see. They reported that the mice maintained their night vision abilities for at least 10 weeks after the injection. Before trying this on humans, the scientists want to improve the safety and sensitivity of the nanomaterials. The researchers presented their findings at a recent meeting of the American Chemical Society. I'm VOA's Rick Pantaleo.
Join your host, Larry London, for Border Crossings, VOA's Worldwide Music Request Hour, every weekday at 1500 Universal. Tune in to hear your favorite songs and artists, win prizes and giveaways, and get the latest scoop from exclusive celebrity interviews. Send in requests to our Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram, or call 202-618-2077 to have your favorite music played for the entire world. Don't miss Border Crossings every weekday at 1500 Universal.
VOA's Learning English is available online at learningenglish.voanews.com. Check out our programs such as Let's Learn English, English in a Minute, Everyday Grammar, and many more. VOA's Learning English, your reliable source for learning English.
Hello, this is Shaka Sali, host of Straight Talk Africa.
On the next Straight Talk Africa, the biggest threat to President Yoweri Museveni's re-election in 2021 may be a 37-year-old musician. The future of Uganda on the next Straight Talk Africa.
Tune in Wednesdays at 18:30 UTC right here on VOA Africa.
The Voice of America's flagship global news program, International Edition, brings you an in-depth look at the biggest stories of the day. Nobody covers the world more comprehensively than VOA. We have hundreds of reporters gathering the news and the views of the most seasoned experts on international issues. Tune in Monday through Friday at 17 UTC and 2230 UTC. We're also available online at voanews.com.
VOA News.
When news breaks, VOA News is there.
Around the clock, listen to VOA Newscast at the top of each hour, along with our detailed news programs and analysis.
We are online at voanews.com.
VOA, your trusted source of news and information.
This is VOA News. I'm Liz Pelka.